welcome to Hot Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are recording live. This is actually probably the first time Haunt Weekly has been recorded in a genuinely spooky place.
Yeah.
We are back in the St. Louis area, but this time we are doing a trip a little further north. We'll have more on that next week, I hope.
Right.
But, yes, this week we are recording, I'm not making this up, in the chapel.
Yes.
In the basement of our hotel.
Yes. So, it's quiet time.
Yeah, no kidding. This is like the eerily quietest place. It's so quiet, I'm actually worried about echo and things like that. We're actually positioned to try to minimize echo. So, once again, as with our previous outings, if our audio sounds different, we sound less glowing to you, now you know why.
Yeah.
But regardless of how glowing we do or do not sound, please do take a minute. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We are Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Like, share, subscribe, thumbs up. Use the bell. Wait, that's YouTube. I might be getting my things mixed up. But do all the good stuff on those. Follow us on hauntweekly.com. And we've got a lot to go over this week because we're discussing 12 actual episodes. Just no, still say 10 for reasons we'll mention in a minute. 12 web services every haunter should know, or every haunted attraction should know at the very, very least.
Yeah.
But first things first, we do have conference reminders. I believe it's my turn to kick off.
Yes, it is.
All right. Coming up in very short order, just 5 days now, it's Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California at the Long Beach Convention Center. Features presentations from Not Scary Farm, Six Flags Fright Fest, and Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. Not the Queen's Mary Dark Harbor, that would be weird. But most importantly of all, it features the Hall of Shadows with 14 mini haunts. Oh my god, I'm so jealous of this one. Learn more about this at midsummerscream.org. If you don't have tickets and are planning on going, you probably need to hurry.
Yes, exactly. Next, we have August 1st. Haunted Attractions Network Leadership Symposium, Innovation and Interactivity.
I'd workshop that title, guys. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you say that every week. Yes, because it's...
I mean it every week, too.
Yes. That one doesn't even, like, have a cool acronym.
No.
Nope. Buena Park, California. It's put on by Gantam Media, which purchased Haunted Attractions Network. It's held at Knott's Berry Scary Farm. Aims to help attendees create interactivity plan of their own. Speakers include John Cook from Not Scary Farm, Brian Llewellyn from the Queen Mary, and Leonard Pickle from Hauntrepreneurs. Tickets
and everywhere else.
Well, yeah. Tickets are $60, and you can find out more at HalloweenAttractionNetwork.com.
All right, now we have a bunch coming up. Speaking of, you know, this time frame here, on August 5th through 6th at Scare LA in the Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Convention Center West Halls, not those dirty, filthy East Halls. there's 200 plus vendors and many, many panels on the haunted attraction business. Learn more at scarela.com.
Yes, and then August 5th through 6th. Also, on the East Coast is East Coast Haunt Gathering, Balearica, Massachusetts,
yes.
Courtyard, Boston, Balearica, Bedford, hauntclub.net for more info on that.
Yes. And then August 25th through 27th in Dallas, Fort Worth, it's a Halloween and Haunt Fest show at the Mesquite Convention Center. Not many details yet, but Halloween and Haunt to learn more. HalloweenandHaunt.com.
Yes.
Learn more, sorry.
September 8th through the 10th, it's Mask Fest in Indianapolis, Indiana, Marriott, Indianapolis East. So this is one, the East is better than the West, apparently. All about makeup effects and mask making, maskfest.com. Remember those warnings from previous episodes.
Don't get sick. Too close to season. And October 14th and 15th, I know most of our audience will have better things to do, but still, this is one of two conferences for these guys, so we're putting them on our radar. This is how we're doing it. It's the Sinister Creature Con at the Scottish Rite, R-I-T-E, Center in Sacramento, California. It includes all things horror, including filmmakers, makeup, and haunted attraction engineers and actors. sponsored in part by the Crematorium Haunted House and Dire World Scare Park. Featured guests include Ted Raimi, Scott McDonald, Marky Ramone, and Movie Bowl.
Yeah.
Can't all be winners, I guess. Anyways.
SinisterCreatureCon, Sacramento.com for more info on that.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. November 9th through 11th is a Legendary Haunt Tour in Philadelphia. Legendary Haunt Tour with 2Ts.com for more info there.
All right. Yeah, that's what's coming up on the conference list. If we missed a conference, if we don't have one, we are not omnipotent.
No.
Just very close.
No, no, not even close.
Not even close. Okay, it's embarrassing.
Not even. Yes.
But yes, do let us know once again, Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Twitter. Drop us a message or a direct message or just a Facebook message, and we will add it to the calendar. We promise. Most of these actually were from suggestions from you, the listeners.
Yes.
So please help us out. All right, on to this week's actual topic. We had such a serious one last week.
Yes.
We wanted to do something a little more fun, a little more silly. Well, no, not silly, but...
Well, no, Jonathan thinks business is fun.
Yes, I do. I think tech stuff is fun.
Well, yeah, specifically. Tech stuff is fun.
So, as we've talked about before, we are a very, very tech-savvy industry. Anyone that says otherwise has clearly not seen what we do with Arduinos.
Yeah.
But we're not a particularly web-savvy one.
Correct.
And this, once again, painting with a broad brush, there are some haunts that are as web-savvy as any tech startup in Silicon Valley. But yeah. It seems largely across the board, this is an area we're struggling.
Right.
So sometimes, because of that, we often miss out on fast, effective, and inexpensive resources that are available. And others have been aware about for years.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of these, you know, as... you mentioned, are not going to be haunt focused. So they're good in any industry, yes, in any business, but we may not know about them.
Yes. And that's one of the things I wanted to do with this, was I wanted to put some focus on non-haunt specific products, because you know about Haunt Pay. If you've been to any of the haunted attraction conferences, you've seen Haunt Pay. You know about these major services out there that cater to us.
Right.
Haunt Scheduler is another one out there that we're talking about, a not haunt-specific competitor to, in just a little bit. So the long story short is we wanted to put the focus on non-haunt-specific services that could be very useful to our industry and talk about not only how they're useful, but where they might fit in with your particular project and your particular enterprise. Because, hey, many of these services, I would say probably over half, are completely free.
Yeah.
There's absolutely...
We like free.
I almost made this, six free web services, and I'd make it a little more clickbaity.
Yeah.
But then it started from 6, and then went to 8, then went to 10, then went to 12, and we still had stuff we had to cut. So this may wind up being kind of a part one.
Maybe.
if this goes over well, and let us know what you think, we're going to do probably another part sometime down the road.
Yeah.
Because there's still a ton of web services out there. But yes, wanted to put the focus on non-hot specific ones. Basically, just want to remind everyone, just because a company doesn't have an orange and black logo or a red and black logo doesn't mean it isn't really good for our industry.
Yeah.
So, we're going to start, and this is going to be kind of a weird hodgepodge order. We're going to be talking front end with the products we use the most.
Yeah.
And it's going to kind of taper off into things that either we don't know as well or don't know at all in some cases.
Right.
But because we haven't used them, but we know others who have and blah, blah, blah. Basically, we're not speaking to them personally.
Yeah.
And by the way, that reminds me, none of these mentions, we're not connected with any of these companies. We're not doing any referral stuff. All the links in the show notes are just bland vanilla links.
Yeah.
No affiliate stuff. We're not making any money off these recommendations whatsoever.
Nope.
In fact, we're going to screw ourselves pretty hard by mentioning competitors whenever we can.
Yeah.
So, take that for what it is. We're not making any money whatsoever off this. Just us talking about products that we think might be useful.
Yeah.
All right. First off, and this is one we use every week on this podcast.
We do.
And we use pretty much all the time on my consultancy, the new site you're building.
I use it at work, too.
We use it everywhere. Canva, C-A-N-V-A at canva.com. My God, this service is such a lifesaver. It is an online graphic design tool.
Yeah.
Now, here's the
thing. What does that mean?
Here's the thing. As part of your haunt, you design or have someone design a lot of things.
Yeah.
That can include physical items such as flyers, posters, business cards, tickets, logos, all that stuff. But it also includes digital things such as timeline images, profile pics for Facebook, event covers, mm-hmm. posts on Twitter, Twitter backgrounds, icons, a bajillion things. Mm-hmm. And here's the secret. A lot of those things are the same or similar, just different sizes.
Right.
So here's what Canva does. Basically, it makes it easy to design stuff. You pick what you want to design, whether it's a poster or a Facebook title image or a Facebook timeline image or whatever, and it has a bunch of templates. Mm-hmm. And you can put your logo in, you can make it your colors, put your text in, choose different fonts.
Yeah.
You can basically completely change the image if you want, but you know, you probably started with that template for a reason, let's be honest.
Right.
There's something about it that caught your eye at the very least.
One of the things that I do like about it also is that you can also change the dimensions to anything that you need.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say, is that when you're done, you've completed it, and you need to take that Facebook timeline image and then make it a poster or make it, you know, your Twitter timeline image.
Yeah.
It's one button.
Yeah.
It's super easy. And I'll say this, the what is it called? The magic resize feature, mm-hmm. I think is what it's called. In my experience, it works probably perfectly 80% of the time.
Yeah.
With minor adjustment, now it's like 95 to 98%.
Yeah.
I've only had a one or two times I can think of where it's like completely borked the layout.
Right.
But yeah, it is so, so handy because you can trivially go between one type of thing to another, keep your look, keep your colors, keep your images, keep everything.
Yeah.
And rather than having to start almost from scratch on these designs every time you need to change the dimensions, it handles the dirty work for you. This can save you a lot of money and a lot of time on graphic design. This is especially handy in season when you're going to be cranking out a lot of Facebook posts and need to do a lot of images really, really quick.
Right. One of the things I used it for actually was making lots of the same poster and just replacing the image.
Yeah.
So if you've got several designs for posters, several images you want to use, it can be used for that too.
Yeah, it's super easy. It also makes it very, very easy to share your designs with teammates.
Yes.
If you wish to do that, and you might not want to for a reason we're going to discuss in a second. But, and also when you're done with the designs, you can download them or export them in a variety of formats, including PDF, PNG, JPEG, pretty much anything you would want. And it's especially useful if you're doing something print that you need for print. You can actually download a print-ready PDF, something you just literally email straight to your printer.
Right.
It comes with the proper resolution, all the specifications. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So how much does this cost? Well, it costs $13 per user, per month, by the way. It's $13 per month per user. So, I don't know, if you only need it certain months out of the year, maybe you'll keep it 6 months or whatever. But yeah, just bear in mind it is per user. So if you share it with other people in your team, you're going to pay for them.
Right.
But, oh no, there may not be much reason, especially if you're just a one-person graphic design shop, to ever get multiple people. That makes it $13 per month. Not a bad deal. Key competitors include GetStencil at GetStencil.com and Pablo, which we'll be talking about in just a minute. But yeah, those are like the two main competitors right now to it that I understand. All in all, Canva has been a true lifesaver. I honestly don't know how I did graphic design, especially social media work,
right,
without it, because it's very heavily geared toward it. But the fact it also does print stuff is extremely useful.
It is. And real quick, in addition to the free templates and images, you can also upload your own images and use those.
And also, so they have free templates, free images. They also have a very large library of stock photos, too, which are $1 each. So if you do choose to use some of their paid photos, that's not going to break the bank either.
Right. And if you need even more photos, it's something that didn't make the list this time, Pixabay.
Yeah. Pixabay.com. It just became 13.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's cooler. We're running with that for the title now.
Yeah.
You just listen to a title change.
Yes. but yeah, Pixabay, I use them all the time.
Yes, I do too.
Because it's free to use for commercial use pictures.
Yeah, public domain images, basically.
Yep.
No licensing, no attribution, nothing. Just free public domain images, like a couple million of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And there are actually a lot that are related to Halloween and haunting.
Oh, yeah. And that's also true of Canva, too. They have a surprisingly good library of Halloween and related images. So
yes.
Give it a look. Canva.com. Need to move on, unfortunately. I could talk about Canva this entire episode. Shopify. Shopify.com. Okay. One thing I do not see on a lot of haunted attraction websites is an online store for the merchandise.
Yeah.
You sell merchandise physically at the store, but do not offer it for sale on the website. Shopify makes it easy to rectify that.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying because I know that my brother, who's not able to travel as much, would love to buy stuff from his favorite haunts year-round because he can't get to them. But he can't do that because they don't have an online store.
Yes. So basically what Shopify does is that it makes it super easy to quickly build a professional online store.
Yeah.
It takes care of everything from the shopping cart system, to sort of your back end for running it, to the security stuff, everything. It's all handled through Shopify. You can use your own domain or the shop or Shopify.com or the Shopify.com domain slash, you know, whatever your site is. Honestly, if you're going to do this, it's probably worth the extra $9 per year to get a domain specific for your store. Kind of call, you know, yourhauntedhouse.shop.com or something.
Yeah.
You can do that trivially. Yeah, this is a great place for selling physical goods. It will not work for tickets.
Right.
So bear that in mind. We're getting the tickets a little bit later down. But it's very, very useful for physical goods. And the cost, if you bring your own site or you're going to sell exclusively on your Facebook page, they have a light plan that is just $9 per month.
Right.
However, honestly, I prefer their $29 per month plan, which they provide the entirety of the site, the shopping cart, everything. Basically, you just upload your images, customize your theme, and roll.
Yeah.
It's super convenient, super easy, and I don't know why more haunts don't do this, because there's, you know,
yeah.
A lot of haunts have really cool merch.
Yeah, they do.
13th Gate locally, I know you mentioned them, House of Shock also has a ton of very interesting merchandise that they only sell when the haunt is open.
Yeah. Well, and also the asylum in Alabama, they talked about how they had the custom teddy bears 1 year that their staff made that was for sale during haunt season, but they didn't have any that we could buy when we were there.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
That was one of our haunt
We got to hear about it.
Yeah, we got to hear about it and see photos of them.
It was
and then
so
see
cool.
The character in the haunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. You want to take this home? Too bad.
Yeah.
Screw you. No, they didn't say that. They were very, very nice.
They were.
I don't know why I'm being mean to them. They were absolutely wonderful.
Because you
people.
Wanted a bear, too.
I wanted a bear, too. I'm still right about that one. Bear in mind, though, with Shopify, the monthly cost does not cover credit card fees or transaction costs. Now, the good news about the Shopify is the transaction costs only apply if you use external gateways.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to say this multiple times this episode, credit card processing fees are pretty much flat.
Yeah.
There's not much variance. So Shopify's own payment gateway, their credit card processing fee is very comparable to everybody else.
Right. And also with Shopify, you can set up SKUs for inventory control, and you can tell them how many you have, and they will track it across every purchase of that item.
Yeah.
So if you're selling in person, they will track your inventory.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Online, that's something that I found really cool because we're looking at it for me.
Yeah. So, and then you're absolutely right. We forgot one of the most important parts. We just totally blew through it, which is they also provide physical POS for your store.
Exactly.
For your booth. And it all meshes and loves each other so perfectly.
Yes. It tracks it across your site, your in-person store, your Facebook social media store.
Yeah.
It tracks it across everything. It makes it so easy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I completely forgot about the in-person POS because I've never used that component.
But I will be.
But it is a very, very cool system. Any sale you make at your merch booth will automatically reflect on the online store.
Right.
That is super cool. So you're not running two separate presences. You're running one presence.
Yep.
And that is why, and strangely enough, you say that, but that's why I put Shopify on this list and not just our next one.
Right.
Which can also do online stores, but can do more than online stores.
Yeah.
So yes, the next one is Squarespace.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Look, let's have a moment here. I know that it's like every Haunter should know these, and every Haunter's like, I know this one. I mean, it's like they sponsor like every damn podcast I listen to, except this one.
Yeah. We could get on the list.
We could get on the list, but anyway, screw that.
Yeah.
But yes, Squarespace is an absolutely amazing platform for building a website and, you know, basically having a presence online.
Yeah.
It has, much like Shopify and much like we discussed with Canva, it comes with a lot of preloaded templates
right.
that you can then edit and manipulate, change the colors on, and make it fit your theme. And here's the thing, I actually checked, I could not find a haunted attraction using Squarespace.
No.
80 million using Sinister Visions.
Yeah.
But none using Squarespace, none attempting this route. And I'm not sure if there's a reason for that I missed, but the long and short of it is, Squarespace is very useful for this, or could be, in part because it also does have a simple online store functionality.
Right.
Now, if you're trying to build a store, you're going to want to go Shopify.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I've tinkered with the store features in Squarespace before. Actually, this one I've only dabbled with. I've never fully built a site. I've only looked at it as a solution in the past. But Shopify is much, much better for the store side, especially if you have a physical presence, which we do, do. So it's much better for that. But still, if you just need a very simple store, especially on just a few items, you might be able to sneak by with the Squarespace store. So something to consider. It starts at $12 per month for a basic account, but that limits you to just 20 pages. If all you need is 20 pages and you're not interested really in selling anything, then maybe that's fine. But you're probably going to want at least the $18 per month business account, which gets you unlimited pages, lowers your transaction costs in the store, blah, 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 blah. And then they have two different tiers of e-commerce, which I believe are 30 and 40. I can't remember off the top of my head. But they're higher up tiers, and they completely eliminate Squarespace transaction costs. All you pay is the credit card processing fee at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something to consider depending upon what you need. Honestly, though, like I said, for a store, my money's on Shopify.
Yeah.
Just because so much more power, especially in things like inventory control, discount codes, shipping. Shopify's pretty cool. That's what I'm saying.
It is.
But for setting up a web presence and maybe a small store, you might be able to sneak by with Squarespace. You can definitely get it for the web presence. I have not found a better web builder anywhere online.
Yeah, and one of the things to keep in mind is that it's easy to update.
Yes.
So whenever you come around to the next season, you want to update it. It's easy to do.
Yeah, this is something I hear from. I've heard from a couple of haunts where they hired someone to do the initial design and the work on the site.
Right.
And then they need an update, and now they're paying an arm and a leg for every small update.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
This is a way to avoid that and have complete control and allow you to do updates year-round to it if you so want.
Right.
Competitors, and there's a reason I mentioned Squarespace. There really isn't a competitor that operates at this professional capacity because Squarespace is really targeted at small businesses.
Right.
And small businesses, sole proprietors, things like that. That's Squarespace's niche. Other services like Wix, which is a Wix.com, and Weebly, which is a Weebly.com, are more targeted at the personal side, but they provide a similar service in that it's a website that you develop and you grow.
Right.
All right. Up next, I guess we're on five, actually, because of our mention of Pixabay.
Yeah.
It's Buffer at Buffer.com. Okay. Now, this is a very interesting one to discuss because basically this is a social media hub, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place to handle all your social media at one site. And it comes in three different parts. The first is Buffer itself, which is fundamentally a social media scheduler. The idea here is you're going to sit down at some point. You're going to work a couple hours on your Facebook posts, your Twitter tweets, Instagram,
right.
Everything that you might want to do for your social media. And then Buffer is going to take that and schedule it out for however long you want it to take to go live.
Right. If you want one a day for every day in September, you can do that using Buffer.
Yes. And Buffer even has great tools for determining when the best time to post things are. So it sort of looks at your audience, it tracks what's going on, and it will help you find the best times to post. It'll help you find content to post. It's a really, really handy tool for basically consolidating your social media efforts rather than having to get up every day and think, well, you're going to put on Twitter or then be, you know, at your computer when you want to tweet.
Right.
Buffer handles that for you. And it can also be used even theoretically, for example, if you just wanted to do a Facebook post or a tweet every couple of weeks over the dog days of summer or whatever, you know, your off season, you could theoretically schedule all that at the end of season and just have it stretch out until you were ready to resume posting later. So it's a great way to get social media out of the way. The reply function, basically, it's think about all the messages you probably get from different social media platforms, people asking when you're opening, is it scary, all those questions. What Reply does is it takes it, it puts into a consolidated email-like inbox. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier for you to respond no matter where these messages come from. They come from Instagram, they come from Facebook, they come from Twitter. Doesn't matter. You can go. I think it also does Pinterest. I don't know how big on it attractions are Pinterest.
I've seen quite a few, actually.
Okay, so then, yes, whatever. But wherever the message comes from, wherever the reply, wherever the comment, wherever it comes from, Reply makes it easy to respond. And then finally, there's Pablo, which is similar to Canva, but much more limited. It is solely geared to social media. Mm-hmm. It lets you create Facebook and Twitter images, Instagram images, and Pinterest images, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to make is social media images. So no flyers, no brochures, none of that stuff at Canva, which is why Canva's on the list, because we do those things.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah.
All those three things pair together very, very well to improve social media engagement, but also to make it a lot easier to do social media. Mm-hmm. As far as the cost, Buffer is free for the basic use. That basic account gives you one account of each stripe. So you have one Twitter, one Facebook, one Instagram, et cetera,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. And that may well be enough.
Yeah.
It also does have a limit on the number of forward posts you can have, but it's a pretty generous limit. I think it was something like, 10 forward posted messages or something like that. So instead of doing, Twitter.
So you'd have to sit down every 10 days, basically.
Yeah, every
if you're
so
doing
often
one a day.
And do it, yeah. But long story short, it's not a bad deal for free.
Right.
Now, the $10 premium account lifts the limit on the number of posts you can have scheduled, plus it opens it up to
multiple accounts.
So, yeah.
You have one name for your, or one site for your haunted attraction and one site for your escape room, then you could have two accounts to handle them separately.
Exactly. Reply, that starts at $50 per month for one user and one account. And it's got a sliding scale. It's actually got a real complicated pricing scheme.
Yeah.
But that's like the minimum is $50 buy-in. But here's the thing about Reply. You're probably only going to really need it 2 months out of the year, maybe two and a half, three.
Yeah.
So, just saying.
Yeah,
you know when you get all the messages on social media and you're running around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to respond to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know that. Just do it yourself. Just figure out how much you need it, right? And Pablo is completely free.
Yeah.
You don't even have to sign up for Buffer. You can just hop on right now and tinker with it.
Yeah.
So you don't need to register for a free account. It's free in every sense of the word that I could tell. Main competitor is a company called Hootsuite. That's HOOTSUIT. Hootsuite, like the sweet life of Zach and Cody. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yes, make obscure Disney Channel references on Haunt Weekly. That'll go over well.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, so Hootsuite's probably the main competitor. I've actually used Hootsuite before. It's a very, very cool system, but it also, Hootsuite is more like TweetDeck. It's more of a actual tool for following social media, too, where Buffer is purely about the scheduling stuff.
Right.
So, something to weigh. All right, number six, MailChimp. This is one I use every flipping week, and I absolutely love it. It's basically easy email newsletters.
Yeah.
Professional, they provide professional newsletter templates. You customize them. They get sent out.
Mm-hmm.
It integrates into pretty much anything you can imagine. WordPress, Shopify, Square. I think there's an integration with Squarespace. It basically integrates with almost everything you can think of. And one of my personal favorite feature is that newsletters can be triggered by blog updates.
Yeah.
So if you have a blog that you are updating and you want those updates to go out to your readers, that can all be handled automatically through MailChimp. It is so cool and so handy for me. Basically, with my personal business, what I did is I set up my template, set up the newsletter, and that was it.
Yeah.
I log into my MailChimp like once every 6 months or so, other than the check analytics, I should say. I do check analytics semi-regularly.
Right.
But other than doing an analytics check, I'm in there like once every 6 months to change the template or tinker with something. It just isn't that often.
Yeah. Now, how important is it for people to have email newsletters versus social media?
I argue it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. And the reason is this. Social media changes. I mean, think about Aurelio Voltaire, the musician.
Right.
We've heard his horror story.
Yeah.
About how he invested so much time, money, and energy into MySpace.
Yeah.
And he put out one album, promoted it through MySpace, sold like 10,000 copies.
Yeah.
Did gangbusters business.
Yeah.
Did really good. Did the exact same thing for his next album, sold 100.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tragic.
So, yes, social media changes. And even if Facebook doesn't go away or Twitter doesn't go away or whatever, it's still going to shift. Preferences are going to shift.
Yeah, it's already falling out of favor with the younger kids.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, we're hanging out right now with a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Who I don't think uses Facebook
at
all.
Yeah, the kids at the college where I work don't use it either.
Yeah, it's just how it is. But anyways, the other great thing about MailChimp, by the way, is that it handles all compliance and balances and all that tech stuff that you have to worry about with it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they take care of all the ugly business. As far as cost, there's actually a free plan that's fairly generous, if we're going to be honest with you. If you have under 2,000 subscribers and you send less than 12,000 emails per month, MailChimp is completely free.
That is pretty generous, yeah.
So you can as long as you don't have more than 2,000 subscribers, and in that case, you're not sending out more than 6 newsletters a month, which you're probably not.
No,
I can't imagine that.
No.
Other than maybe the heart of haunt season.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: if you do go over that, which I did,
yeah.
I'm kind of proud of that. then plans start at $10 per month, and all paid plans have unlimited sending. It's all about the number of subscribers you have. So.
Cool.
All right. Next one is one I just discovered and I've been playing with and having a lot of fun with.
Yeah, it's something I'll be playing with later today.
Oh, my God. It was really funny because we were doing the show notes and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I want to mention SketchUp because I love SketchUp, but it's not a web service.
Right.
We're trying to keep this to web services.
Yeah.
So I did some Googling and then I learned about Tinkercad.
Yeah.
Tinkercad.com. It is online computer-aided drafting software. And Leonard, if you're listening, I said drafting, not design.
Yeah.
I got it right. Leonard, are you hearing? Sorry, I had a bit of a thing at HauntCon a few years ago. But anyways, my basic idea here is that it's very similar. If you've used SketchUp in the past, you'll be very familiar with what you're doing with this. It is online, web-based software for doing quick mock-ups and 3D models.
Yeah.
And it's also, and this is part I really think is cool, it's part of the AutoCAD family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure even if you're not into CAD, you've heard of AutoCAD at some point. It's one of those software tools that everyone's at least heard the name mentioned. But it also means that models you create in Tinkercad can be imported, or exported, then imported, I guess, into AutoCAD. And here's the other thing. They also have it where it can be exported for laser cutting and 3D printing.
That's pretty cool.
If you do laser cutting or 3D printing as part of your HAN, this software can do it. And here's the best part. It's free.
Yeah.
It is free. It's in beta right now. They have a big beta banner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I was testing it on my MacBook Pro. It did move a little bit on the slow side. I could have used a little more pep in the step, so to speak. But, you know,
that could just be the wireless connection here.
And that's what I was about to say. Is that we're on hotel Wi-Fi, so don't judge harshly.
Yeah.
But still, it's a very, very cool. They have a great tutorial when you sign up for it. Mm-hmm. They help you learn how to use it. It's just very cool software. And if this is one of those things where if you don't have a CAD program on your laptop or your computer and you want to quickly sketch out a design or an idea, this will work. This will do it for you. It's free. All you got to do is sign up for an AutoCAD account, which takes all of 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the only competitor I can really think of is Google Sketchup. It's not Google Sketchup anymore. It's just Sketchup. Google sold it all. But yes, SketchUp, I believe there's a free version of SketchUp and a very expensive pro version of SketchUp.
Yeah.
I think it's SketchUp Make is the free version.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that one is not a web service. It's downloadable. And by the way, I do recommend trying SketchUp.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. And the software does work very well on all computers that it downloads for. And SketchUp Make is free.
Yeah.
It is, and it's not, I didn't find it to be very limited.
No, I didn't either. And that's what we usually use whenever we redesign the entire mallet.
Whenever we do a full tear down and rebuild, we typically, one of the first things we do after the graph paper designs, we get into SketchUp and we actually build it out a little bit.
Right.
And then the goal of SketchUp, and remember, SketchUp is not, and neither is Tinkercad, super professional, high-end CAD software.
Right.
This is more just the quick sketch to let us see how it all fits together.
Yep.
So, that's what you're getting there. All right. Now, this next one you've used, but I have not.
Yeah.
So, next one is Sling at getsling.com. It is completely 100% free, no strings attached, no catches. Free employee scheduling software.
Yeah.
What the actual hell?
Yeah. One of our friends uses it all the time. Whenever I was using it, I was using it as an employee who was scheduled. So you would basically sign into the account for the company and you would see everybody's schedule at once.
Yeah.
Who's working where, what times, all that stuff.
Yeah, this is one of the things we've never really needed scheduling for our haunt. It's too small to really require it.
Yeah.
Basically, our version of scheduling is, so you going to be here Friday? Yep. All right. See you then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically,
get here an hour early.
Which days are you working this year?
Yeah. And then,
okay.
The most complicated I think it gets is the spreadsheet we sometimes draw up.
Yeah. No, I definitely use that because I need to know where I'm putting everybody.
Yeah. But the long story short is we don't need this, but haunts do.
Oh, yeah.
And if you need employee scheduling, which you do, this is beautiful stuff. Now, to be clear, it does not handle any payroll, clocking in, clocking out, any of that jazz. It is all about scheduling and determining who is working what days and what times and what roles.
Yeah.
It is very, very highly reviewed. It is completely free. And I actually looked up how this company makes money.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to send our lovely listeners into a scam or something.
Yeah, yeah.
This ain't no photo bucket.
No.
That's what I'm talking about. That whole shenanigans. Now, basically what they do is they offer their core service for free, and they make all their money selling customizations to companies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's been a very lucrative business for them because they've been in business for quite some time now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the other feature, by the way, I'm forgetting is that it also handles communication between employees.
Yeah.
If you use the Sling app, which you should encourage your employees to do, you can send messages, reminders, let employees know a new shift is opened up and, hey, who can fill this?
Right.
It also is a communication tool between employees.
Yeah.
It's a very limited communication tool. It exists solely for those one-directional notifications, is my understanding.
Yeah.
But still, very, very handy. So basically, if you're like Friday night, Harold, your chainsaw guy, decides he's got the flu or something, got the October flu and can't come in.
Yeah.
And so he removes himself from that in Slack. Then there'll be a notification sent to others who are
in
available.
In Sling.
Slack is next.
I know.
In Sling. I got confused. I'm looking at it.
I know.
In Sling. But he'll remove it in Sling. A notification can be sent out to others saying, hey, we need a chainsaw dude who's available. They can put themselves in it.
Yep. Exactly.
So that's super duper cool, and honestly, it's way easier than how most haunts do. Having worked in professional haunts, that is 100 times easier than how they've done scheduling.
Oh, yeah.
And role assignment.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have we shown up at a haunt and not knowing what role we're playing until we get tossed into it?
All of them.
Yeah. Every single time.
Yes. Yes. Every time we volunteer to work at a haunt, we don't have positions, even in, on multiple weekends.
Yeah, even when we're there like every week. Yeah. Every day of every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty rough.
Yeah, because you never know what you're going to be doing.
You don't know who didn't show up or whatever, and you might get rotated into something you're not familiar. I got rotated into the ticket booth once.
Yeah. Yeah, you got rotated into there. I was in the bathtub. I made that scene work. I was the only one that made that scene work.
Indeed.
I made it work.
All right. Well, while we're on the subject of communication, and we get to get moving.
Yeah.
Slack at slack.com is a free communication tool. You've probably heard of it, but if you haven't, it is fundamentally a way to do group chat and group communication. The idea being you get everyone in your organization to join your Slack account, and then you have different channels that you assign people to. So you can have a build team channel, an actor team channel, a marketing channel,
channel
for every function of the haunt, and only the people that that's relevant to are put into those channels so they're not overloaded with communication. And basically, it's not like a giant group chat where everyone's yelling over one another. You have very specific pointed functions for every channel.
Right.
And it's also really cool because you can tag specific users, so much like think like Twitter, where you can tag specific users, or you can private message between users.
Yeah, this is very useful. The company that I was with that used Sling also used Slack for the communication tools. So if there was a problem on site, then we'd be able to let everybody know immediately that something had happened. Or if we just needed to get in touch with the managers, then we could do that too through private messaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Slack is an amazing piece of software.
Yeah.
And probably the coolest part about it, honestly, for a lot of this is the integrations it has. It integrates with just about every service you can fathom.
Yeah.
Everything from accounting software to like Shopify has an integration built in.
Right.
It's so that, you know, these service, so that, for example, with Shopify, just to give an example, when someone buys a product, it can drop a note in the fulfillment chat, hey, so-and-so, this purchase, this da-da-da, send it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So all these integrations are extremely important for Slack. But, yeah, the main thing for our purposes is get everyone in your haunt in one place, under one roof, and then break them apart into the various teams they work in.
Yeah.
So it's very, very useful. Now, there are competitors, HipChat at HipChat.com, Fleep at Fleep, FLEEP.com, and interestingly enough, Workplace by Facebook, which is Facebook.com/Workplace,
right,
are all valid competitors. And the advantage of Workplace by Facebook, by the way, is that everyone has a Facebook account.
Yeah.
Even those stinking millennials that don't believe in Facebook, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We like our millennials.
Well, and the thing is, and that is something to keep in mind, because with Slack, there is an app for phones.
Yes.
We were encouraged to download it and use it. That's what we did.
And there is one for HipChat, Fleet, and Facebook Workplace, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of become a standard feature in this field, is my understanding.
Yeah, but not a lot of people, or some people are not going to want to put it on their phone.
Yeah, good point.
So,
but at least with Facebook, even though there is a separate Workplace by Facebook app,
right,
at least with that, everyone already has a Facebook account.
Yeah.
Step one is completed.
Exactly.
So something to think about. All right. Now we're getting into some nitty-gritty business stuff. And this is, of all the apps on this list, the one that's probably saved me the most time
is this one.
It's called Shoeboxed. It is online receipt tracking. I know that's the most boring sounding thing in the world, but trust me, early April, it's going to sound like a godsend.
Yeah.
Basically, the idea is it lets you both send in physical receipts if you wish, or you can scan them using your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing for me, at least, because nearly I run an online business, so probably 95 to 98% of my receipts are emailed to me.
Right.
Like my Canva receipts emailed to me and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Shoeboxed automatically reads the email in your account, finds the receipts, and archives them. and categorizes them and puts them away for you. So basically, come tax time, you log into your Shoebox account and go, yep, that's everything. Make sure it's got everything. It does the tallying. Now you know what your expenses were.
Yeah.
It's really that easy. It does integrate into many different accounting applications, most importantly QuickBooks. But yeah, my God, my sole proprietorship, my consultancy, I probably saved days per year.
Oh yeah,
chasing
definitely.
Down receipts with this.
Oh, definitely, because we used to have a
receipt box.
A receipt box before this was a thing. And we would go and we would sit down with the person who did our taxes and and this and this and this.
Oh, yeah, man. It's no wonder our tax guy fired us.
Yeah. It took forever.
Yeah, this is so much easier. There is a DIY plan that is free. That one, basically, it'll do the email part, which I think that's the plan I'm actually on.
Yeah.
And it'll do a couple of receipts, like a 5 receipts per month.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're not doing a lot of physical receipts, DIY plan free, does everything you need, and my God, it's beautiful. I mean, I think that's the plan I'm on. I have to double check.
Yeah.
Business plan started $15 per month. It's just a beautiful, beautiful app. I've been on it now for almost 10 years, I think.
Yeah. Now, I know that PayPal and so forth send you receipts whenever you buy stuff, but can it be integrated for people who sell stuff, too? Can it track the other side of it?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I don't think so, because I believe Shoebox is totally about receipts. It also does mileage tracking, too, which can be very important.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's only for expenses.
Okay.
Main competitor is Paperworks at paperworks.io. Main limitation of Paperworks, though, is it does not do anything to handle physical receipts. And if my online business occasionally gets physical receipts, then obviously a brick-and-mortar business is going to have a combination, too. So that's why I didn't put it first.
Yeah, because, you know, if you need a new computer or a new microphone for this.
Or all that lumber you buy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for me, it would be a computer.
For you specifically.
For me, it'd be a microphone, a computer.
Yeah, but yeah, for Hans, it's the lumber you buy, the props that you order online from big companies and
all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Up next. Now, season's over. You need some feedback.
Yeah.
Check out this great tool, Responster, at responster.com. Responster.com.
It almost sounds like Monster.
Yeah, it does. It's even there. It's even cool already. Basically, it is a free tool, completely free, for getting feedback from any group of people you want feedback from, whether it's your customers, whether it's your actors. You create a survey. It has 10 different question types. And you just simply share it, and they respond to it. And it holds on to the replies and does an analytics on it. It's great. Then the main thing is, and the reason I put Responster rather than some bigger known competitors, it's because Responster is free with unlimited questions and unlimited responses.
That's pretty good. And we like free.
And the two competitors we're listing, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's very untrue. However, you can get a pro account for $19 that adds more features, such as, such as the ability to have, like, smart surveys that respond and shift to what people are putting in there.
Yeah.
Like, you see this person rated your haunted 2, then you can shift to, like, a negative review survey and have a talk about what went wrong rather than just going for the Yelp review, Yelp-style review. You know, where you want to get specifics, maybe. The main competitors are SurveyMonkey and GetFeedback. SurveyMonkey is SurveyMonkey.com. GetFeedback is, well, GetFeedback.com.
Yeah.
And, like I said, both of them have very similar feature sets. But in both cases, the free accounts are extremely limited. In fact, GetFeedback, even the pro account, is limited to 1,000 responses.
Yeah,
which might not be enough for an end-of-season survey, depending on how big your haunt is.
No.
So, yeah, basically, I'm looking to doing my stuff through Responster from now on. I've used SurveyMonkey in the past. SurveyMonkey is the one I've really used in the past. And it's a very, very good system, very slick, very elegant. But yeah, that you run into their caps so quickly.
Yeah.
It's very, very frustrating.
And that might actually be something interesting to put on a homepage after season's over, everybody's calmed down, and then it's there whenever people start coming, if you haven't updated yet, to see when you're open the next season.
Yeah. And if you have that MailChimp newsletter,
yeah,
this is a great thing to send after season to get people's feedback.
Right.
Hey, we saw you came to our haunt, subscribe to our newsletter. What'd you think this year?
Yeah.
And then get the feedback that way. All in all, a very, very powerful tool.
Yeah.
All right. Back on the scheduling kick right now. Doodle. I have not actually used this one. Crystal
yeah.
has experience with this one. But basically, Doodle is a free meeting scheduling application.
Right. Yeah, and you can, so the free template is you set it up and it gives you a certain amount of people you can email to. Now, the other thing it does though is it gives you a link and you can take that link into your other email and send it to as many people as you want.
Yeah.
And get as many responses as you want. And that's completely free. Now, the main difference between the free version and the pro version, because there is a pro version, is the look of the schedule.
Yeah.
Because if in the free version, if you have multiple dates and multiple times per day,
yeah.
Because you can say, okay, I want some, who can be available Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at different times of the day, you know?
Yeah.
Anywhere from,
And the basic idea, and let's backtrack for a second,
yeah.
is you decide a meeting needs to happen.
Yep.
This could be an actor meeting. It could be a marketing meeting. It could be just about anything. And so you know that there's X number of people that need to be at said meeting.
Right.
And you could either A, try to go back and forth with everyone via a group chat or an email and try to hammer out schedules.
Yeah.
Or you send this link, and what you do is you say, this is the event we need. These are the times that can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen 8 a.m. Wednesday, noon Wednesday, 2 p.m. Wednesday, 5 p.m. Thursday.
Yeah.
Or, you know, noon Friday.
Yeah.
You got like those five times.
Yeah.
And what you do is you put all that into the to Doodle and then shoot out that link and everyone chooses
exactly
what times they're available.
Yeah.
And through a preponderance.
Yeah. The other thing is if you are trying to schedule interviews and you put it out there, you can actually lock it down to once one person
yes.
has selected a time, then nobody else can select that time.
Yes.
That was very useful last semester. Now, the thing is, if you've got a lot of times and a lot of dates, the pro version gives you a calendar view, which is much easier to look at
mm-hmm.
than the free version where you have to scroll through lines and lines of pages.
Yeah. And to be clear, the pro version of this ain't breaking anybody's bank, to be honest with you.
No.
It's $39 per year.
Yeah.
That's year, not month.
Yeah.
And there actually is another version, which is $69 per year, which also lets it be completely white label, where you add your own logo, your background, you can do style and customizations and so forth.
Right.
But if you just want the more advanced version that she's describing, that's $39 per year. That's about $3 a month, guys.
Yeah.
That's not a bad deal.
Not at all.
So, yeah, this brings us to our final one, item 13. And this actually harkens back to a previous episode we did.
Yes.
It is Ascenio is the name of it. And it is a simple, low-cost online ticketing service. Now, we discussed online ticketing back in episode 42.
Right.
And it was a good episode. You should check it out and listen to it. It was good. But we actually ran across this solution in the time since. And because one of the challenges we had was trying to find a professional service that had a fair per ticket price.
Right.
And there are a lot of services out there that do online ticketing. But mm-hmm. this one is just pretty much a flat 75 cents per ticket.
Yeah.
And that makes it so that it is, if your tickets cost more than $10, Ascenio will be cheaper than HauntPay.
Right.
Now, I don't wish to necessarily beat up on HauntPay, but they're the main providers to the industry. They're the ones at every show.
Yeah.
They're the ones everybody's aware of. And this is just me showing how sometimes a company outside the industry
right.
can provide a better service. And it also does full customization and embedding into your site. You can do discounts. It's a very professional, very well-run service. Now, that being said, it is not cheaper than Fear Ticket,
right?
Which is 35 cents per ticket. But I'm just going to be blunt and say I'm not a fan of Fear Ticket's designs.
Okay.
And the look of their ticket pages.
Yeah.
They don't they don't scream professional to me.
Yeah.
And as someone who's security conscious, that makes me very uneasy about putting my credit card information in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that.
And that may just be me. That's, yeah. In fact, it probably is just me. But I accept that. But I never liked the way they appeared. They always looked to be just a little bit cartoonish, mm-hmm. almost.
Yeah.
A little bit rough around the edges. Not as well put together. Where I really love the way Asenio looks. And I would have no qualms whatsoever. In fact, I nearly accidentally paid for their demo tickets.
Yeah. And that's ESEN.io.
Thank you very much. ESEN.io. Oh, and another great thing about Asenio is that it has Stripe built in.
Oh, that is cool.
So then if you're someone like me whose credit card information, this is how I almost accidentally did it.
Yeah.
If there's someone like me whose credit card information is already in Stripe,
yeah.
then when you go to click to buy, it automatically pops in pre-filled.
Gotcha.
That's pretty cool. I don't think that's a feature of Fear Ticket. But yeah, in the end of the day, the self-rolled solutions are going to be the cheapest. You'll pay once for, you pay a couple $100 for the solution.
Right.
And then never pay a transaction cost again.
Yeah.
So in the long run, those are still by far the cheapest. However, there is an online competitor worth checking out. It's Tito, T-I.T-O. And that's it for R13. We are running a bit long and not over yet. We're not over our technical time frame yet. But we'll wrap this one up so we don't. We have a ton more products, though, to go through.
Yeah. And we had mentioned Pixabay. I don't think we ever said the actual domain. It's pixabay.com for those free images.
Yes, indeed. But on that note, thank you very, very much for joining us. Hope that some of these services were useful. Hope you maybe learned at least one or two new ones that you're checking out right now. All these are very, very cool. And all these are, I think, potentially very useful to the industry.
Yeah.
So anything else we missed?
Well,
we missed a lot, but we're going to have to do this in another episode. I get it.
Not this episode.
Okay, so yes, but we're going to come back next week, hopefully, with an interview.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this. I can't give any details yet, but this is a very exciting one for Haunt Weekly
yeah.
and for me personally. But definitely follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Follow us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Subscribe to us at hauntweekly.com. We're in iTunes, Google Play Store, everywhere fine podcasts are sold. They have no idea we're there. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
Please don't let them know. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly discussing 13 services that every haunted attraction owner should know about. We will see you guys next time.